This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Public sector employees earn a gross salary of up to 6.6% less than their private sector equivalents. But if you include smaller private companies, that pay disadvantage all but disappears, according to the CSO. Then, of course, there are the huge perks enjoyed by civil servants, such as a very generous pension and the fact that they are virtually unfireable. So do public sector workers earn more or less than those working for private companies on the whole? Something for Dr. Emma Howard, lecturer in economics at the School of Marketing at TU Dublin. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning, Joe.
How did the CSO measure with these wage levels between public sector and private sector employees?
So what the CSO have done is they've conducted a really detailed analysis on this, because it's not something that's easy to measure. There's lots of different ways that it can be done, and the CSO have done a number of different types of modelling on this. So the first thing that they did was they looked at average pay. So the average difference between a public sector worker and a private sector worker, and they've accounted for things like the fact that we have differences in education levels. So those public sector workers tend to be more educated than the private sector workers. Things like the age, the length of service that the workers have had, and so on. Mm. And in that analysis, then what they did is, as you said, they included and excluded two things. So they in some of the analysis, they've included the size of the firm that the worker is in. And this is really an interesting part of the analysis, because it's not clear whether you should include this or not. So if you take somebody, as you say, who's working in the private sector, they're working for a really big firm, and then those big firms tend to pay more. But if you're looking at a private sector worker, it doesn't matter the size of the firm they're working in. So take a school teacher, for example. A school teacher is paid a standard rate, whether they're in a very small school or a very large school.
Mm. Did all this surprise you, Emma? That public sector workers earn slightly less when you do it like for like, they earn slightly less. But when you include all the tiny little SMEs, they don't earn less.
Yeah. So what we see is that there's really only, on average, mostly they earn less. So there's only one way to model it that shows a slight premium of working in the public service for an average worker. And that's if you include that firm size and you include the public sector superannuation. So the additional payments that you make as a public servant towards your pension. So in that case, there's a small premium of 0.9%. So it's really only a tiny advantage on average of being a public sector worker.
Now, age also matters, and experience, it matters a lot as to what you earn in the public sector.
It does. And what we see is there are big differences across the wage distribution. So if you are a low paid, if you're at the bottom of the income distribution in the public sector, you have a good premium. So you're paid kind of 10 to 11% more than a low paid worker in the private sector. So that's where we see the big advantage. If you are a young, inexperienced worker, for example, in the public sector. If we look at those more experienced, if we look at those senior public sector employees, they're at a disadvantage compared to the private sector. So they are paid, depending on, again, on how you look at it, but they're paid up to nearly 18% less than their private sector counterparts. So that's where we see the big difference. Now, as you mentioned, of course, there are advantages to being in the public service. So, you know, you've got a very secure job. You essentially in a lot of positions won't lose your job. So you've got
unfireable.
Yeah, it's in many jobs, they are practically unfireable, and that security, that certainty, means that, you know, people are willing to take that lower pay in order to have that guaranteed salary and know that they're not going to be made redundant, for example.
And the key bit for a lot of people is the very generous pension.
Yeah, now that generous pension, I suppose it depends. Again, there's a big difference between when we look at those younger or more recent entrants into the civil service versus the more senior public sector workers. Because what we saw is that there was a big change in those entitlements in 2013. So if you are lucky enough to have joined the public sector pre-2013, you do have really good pension entitlements.
As in, you have a final salary scheme, which is based on your final salary, as the name says, which is very, very generous compared to what you would get in the private sector, which is a money purchase scheme.
Exactly. So what you have is anyone pre-2013, their pension is based on their last 3 years of earnings. So if you retire on a high salary, you just have those last 3 years of to work on that salary, you retire, and then that's what your pension is based on. But anybody who has entered in post 2013 is on a much less generous salary. So their pension entitlements are based on their career average earnings. So there's a really big difference. And we saw this when, you know, and the public sector pension scheme, you know, was a big burden to the state. So, you know, changes needed to be made to this. But what we saw was that it was very much younger workers, new entrants that bore the burden of those changes.
As is always the case. Now, did the CSO data give us any indication about gender parity when it comes to the workers in the two sectors?
Yeah, and this is really interesting because we know already from our gender pay gap data that there is a smaller gender pay gap in the public service, public sector than there is in private enterprises. And this is, you know, there's a number of reasons for this, but this is mostly down to the fact that within the public sector, you've got very clear progression pathways. So how people are promoted and how they progress through their careers is clearly defined. Whereas in the private sector, you know, it can be much more subjective. It can be based on things like, you know, people asking for promotions or people, you know, self-promoting and so on. So we see, somewhat unsurprisingly given that for women, their premium in the public sector is larger than men's, and the penalty kicks in at a much higher wage level. Oh. So really, it's only the top 20% of earners in the public sector for women that experience or have this penalty, have a lower pay than their private sector. Whereas for men, that gap becomes a discount much earlier.
Thank you very much, Emma. That is Dr. Emma Howard from TUW.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.